As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And then on the first part of your question, we just made shots.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Dang. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you guys for waking up with us. We are here to catch you up on all the action from Tuesday night. I'm Dave DeFore, joined as I am every Tuesday night, Wednesday morning by Mo DeKeel, my Nerder She Wrote partner in crime. What's up, Mo?
Oh, I'm chilling, Dave. I'm ready to attack this hump day like it's never been attacked before.
Well, okay. I don't know about that one. But it was hump day. And the Clippers managed to clear the hump, clear the hurdle, and come back and beat the Portland Trailblazers 113 to 112. And Mo, I think, you know, let's talk about the end of the game. Blazers were up late. They go into crunch time where they've just been, I don't know what word we can use to describe. Maybe lucky? I
mean, you have to go a little bit more than that. They've been amazing.
They've been an outlier.
Damian Lillard. Outlier, but they've had Damian Lillard, who, this is Dame time. He goes off in the fourth quarter of these games, and they've won, you know, and we've even talked about it on Nerder. They've won a outsized portion of these crunch time games that's maybe a little bit unusual.
Yeah, well, this was a crunch time game, and they lost. And look, I know it's not a one-to-one thing, and every game is unique. But, you know, it is telling that when we got to 5 minutes left and it was a five-point game and they had the lead, I jumped into my notes and said, oh, we need to see what happens here without Damian Lillard, and they lost. And I think it comes down to late-game execution at both ends. I thought they did okay until the Blazers brought Zubac back into the game with about 2 minutes to go, and then the paint was sealed off and they got nothing. The looks that they got a Carmelo Anthony contested fadeaway jump shot. You know, we saw the CJ McCollum shot there at the end. You know, we saw just the absolute brick that he got up in the possession before Paul George draws the foul to go to the free throw line. So, you know, I got to ask you there, you know, there's a lot of smoke around Terry Stotts, and Jason Quick over at The Athletic wrote about this, and he mentioned the defense, and we're going to get to that. But in particular, man, I think this late-game offense was atrocious in this game.
Well, I mean, so reliant on Dame. So when Dame's not in the game, it's and not available, it's a problem, right? And they don't run much, you know, in that instance. You know, a lot of what they do late games, when they have Damian Lillard, is pick and roll, or the other team's going to double to get the ball out of Dame's hands, and they're going to hit the short roller and attack from there. They don't actually run stuff. So in this instance, in this game, without Dame, it was a problem, and you could just see it, and a lot of just bad shots. It wasn't stuff like I was like, okay, that's a pretty good look. They just missed it. It was just like, nah, it took a lot to get that shot, and it was like, ugh, okay.
Well, let's run through the last minute just to kind of recap it. I mean, CJ McCollum, he hits a big three, a deep three, and they go up five with about a minute to go. I mean, this is a collapse, plain and simple. Paul George comes back, hits a layup. Paul George hits another shot after that awful, awful three that CJ McCollum missed. And then, you know, Paul George comes down, gets fouled, going to the basket, hits both. They win. They get a bad look. The Blazers get a bad look at the buzzer. But the defense down the stretch, wasn't there. And this has been the thing that people have really keyed in on. I mean, this is the worst defense in the league.
Yeah, I mean, this is a problem. And this is the thing is, you know, a lot of expectations going into this season with how improved the defense should have been. Now, we have to the caveats, of course. Nurkic has been hurt most of the season. No Zach Collins pretty much, it feels like, the entire season. And, you know, you've had guys in and out of the lineup in between there. But, like, they're just – there doesn't look like there's any continuity defensively. They still have some guys. You know, Robert Covington is not a great one-on-one defender, but he's really good weak side, rotating over, being in the right spot kind of guy. Derrick Jones Jr. is a pretty good defender. Gary Trent Jr. was a good defender. They traded him, brought Norman Powell in. I think it's a one-to-one in terms of their defensive skills there, too. I don't think it's that much of a drop-off. But they just haven't been able to find the defensive system that works for them. And that's a problem. And that's something you just got to look at the coaching staff sometimes. And you're sitting there going, like, what are we doing here, guys?
Well, I mean, what are their options? I just don't know where they go this season. They don't have a guy they can turn to. CJ McCollum, I mean, he's kind of been the problem a little bit on defense, but just a smaller guard, often tasked with larger guys. I mean, this is an issue that they've had for years. It's nothing new, but it's kind of a personnel issue. I mean, do you feel like Terry Stotts is rightfully taking heat here?
I mean, he's going to get he deserves some of the heat. Some of this is coaching. Some of this is the way this goes. And, you know, some of it is like, you know, they've been very reluctant to trade CJ McCollum, you know, and it might be time. You know, everybody's been saying it for a long time of maybe this pairing is not going to work and not going to bring – it's not even about bringing Portland a championship. It's just, you know, feeling like they have a real chance to contend, and they just – they haven't felt that for a while. Apart from making the conference finals that one year, it just hasn't really felt like this team is that team that everybody's kind of afraid of. You know, Dame's great. We love him. But it's after that, it's kind of like, all right, well, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, Damian Lillard's good enough that this should be a team that's perennially a top four seed in the West.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And the early game of the night, the Nets face the Pelicans. And look, I think a month ago we looked at this on the schedule and we're like, oh, okay, this is going to be fun. We're going to see, you know, KD and James Harden. Oh, wait, no, we're not, because these guys just don't play together. Didn't really matter because Kyrie Irving was kind of ridiculous in this game, doing the stuff that he does, just hitting shots all over the place. 32 points for him, had 8 assists. Joe Harris had 24. Don't want to forget about Zion. He had 33 in this game. I not a bad game for him. But the Nets have proven to be pretty resilient, and I think that will bode well for them in the playoffs, especially if they're healthy.
Yeah, I don't know how much that makes a difference, Dave. Like, it's going to come down to my bigger concern is these guys need to get on the court together. They need to get that time together chemistry-wise. Look, we know offensively it's going to click and these guys are going to roll through and it's going to be smooth and things like that. But defensively, they need to have a better understanding of where to rotate and who's doing what and things like that. And the playoffs is so much tougher than the regular season when teams are literally game planning. And by games 3 and 4, they know every play you run. They know all your habits. It becomes a very challenging situation. And they just 7 games. That's all they've had, Dave, with these 3 guys together so far this season. That's not a lot. And we're down to like, what, 16, 17 games left in the season? This was a problem I had with the Clippers last season. Right. And this isn't on purpose with the Nets. This wasn't by design the way it was for the Clippers. but it's a problem nonetheless. So I think this is something that's really concerning in terms of the injuries. I mean, James Harden, they're talking about, may not be ready till the start of the playoffs.
And it's a hamstring. And you know, I think that the types of injuries actually do matter here. You know, with Kevin Durant, it's the in and out of the lineup with the leg issues coming back from the Achilles. Rightfully, they're treating him with kids' gloves. I think that's the smart move for sure. But you have to worry that he keeps getting these dings that are keeping him out for, I mean, a couple of weeks at times. I think that's a real concern because they're going to have to be healthy. And now Harden with the hamstring. A hamstring isn't just something that you usually come back from and you're 100%. Especially with setbacks.
I mean, they made a mistake bringing him back as early as they did in the first place. You know, like, I was surprised. I forget what game it was.
Didn't he play Portland?
Was it Portland? It was a game he came in, he left in the first quarter. But it was, when I saw him in the lineup, I said, man, you just missed like two games. Like, I know you don't like missing games, but maybe take a little more time. And this is becoming an issue in that sense for the Nets. So it's a concerning situation in the sense of, we don't know what this team's going to look like, you know, going into the playoffs. And the thing is, you know, that the good side of it, Dave, is their opponents don't know what it's going to look like either.
That's true. It is going to be a mystery. But
the one problem is, I don't think Steve Nash knows what it's going to look like.
And so that's the thing, right? And we know how Mike D'Antoni likes to coach heading into the playoffs. And I mean, this is a guy who doesn't like to play more than 9 guys during a regular season anyway. And I know they want to be tightening this rotation and kind of getting it set, you know, setting themselves up so that they could taper, but they never had a ramp up. So think about just the conditioning setbacks, the chemistry setbacks. I think that we might see a shift in the next week or so in the narrative. I think that the last month, everyone has felt like it's Brooklyn and maybe Philly coming out of the East. And I think we're going to see a narrative shift away from Brooklyn because of the injury stuff. Okay, but back to the game. Again, the Pelicans did play in this game. I know we talked about the Nets a lot, but you know, they're interesting. The Pelicans did play, and we have hammered Zion. I mean, his entire career at this point.
His very short career.
Right? he has not yet played 82 full games in the NBA. We have hammered him on Nurter about his defense and the effort. And it's not just, you know, like we see the highlight plays, but the effort is often lacking. And I thought in this game, Mo, he was excellent, or at least the effort was excellent.
The effort was there. The recognition was there. There were plays where he was rotating over, may not have made necessarily the defensive stop or whatnot, but there were plays where he knew to be in the right spot and times where he made the big stops. You know, there were some instances where he made a stop but didn't continue with multiple efforts and gave up a bucket, but promise in the right direction. And this is the stuff we want to see from Zion kind of moving forward defensively. And I think that's the big thing we're looking at. And I was really pleasantly surprised in this game. We know what he can do on offense. He's practically unstoppable. But on the defensive end, I want to see what he can do. And there were just some really good, encouraging signs of just being at the nail early and stopping a Kyrie drive or rotating over when Blake Griffin was rolling and things like that. I thought he did a great job defensively with his recognition and effort in this game.
Just quickly before we wrap, how do you feel about late game? Do you think they need to have Zion as the five? I think that's kind of would solve a lot of their problems late game.
I don't know, because I'm not in love with their guards. You know, I understand the premise, but I'm also like, but that means Bledsoe's on the court.
That's right. Pack it up. That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Don't forget about all the other shows we have on the Athletic Podcast Network. You know where to find them. Go to theathletic.com/dailyding and sign up now if you haven't already. Thank you guys for waking up with us as you do every single morning. Mo, send us home.
Ding, ding.